بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm your brother Sajid Lipum, and I'm here today with my right-hand man, Omar Shatila. We got a very exciting episode today for all you single Muslims out there looking to get married. We got the 10 steps towards marriage for single Muslims. So that's the topic of discussion today.
It's definitely an interesting topic. That is relevant for a lot of the youth, you know, young Muslims who want to get married, and they start early in high school, sometimes even in middle school, thinking about, you know, those topics, thinking ahead. You know, typically when people go through puberty, you know, they start when the youth go through that phase and they start thinking about the opposite gender, thinking about these things, you know, having that attraction towards the opposite gender. If they want to keep it halal, their mind is going to go to start thinking about marriage. And even if that's something in the future for them, they start thinking about it at that age because, well, that's what's something that's halal for them to consider rather than considering other, you know, going down a different path. So we hear that from some of the students sometimes asking about marriage, talking, hear some of their discussions about it and things like that. So.
And as you mentioned, this is the halal way for Muslims to go, because I mentioned in other videos about how they even have, for the non-Muslims on YouTube, they have how to get a boyfriend in fourth grade and stuff like that. So, I mean, subhanAllah. So at younger and younger ages, we find kids in this society looking to have relationships with the opposite gender. So for Muslims, if we're going to keep it halal, marriage is, even if it's not the norm here to get married at a young age, that's part of our deen. So we want to look at some of the top 10 steps that can help somebody who wants to go down that path find the right spouse, inshallah.
I mean, the one thing that, you know, we hope for, that would help you all out that are, you know, single or trying to go about getting married is that this would give you sort of a process or an outline of what steps to pursue to be able to actually get closer towards that goal of getting married, inshallah.
Yeah, because it's a serious thing to get married and you want to go about it the right way. So,
and I mean, the one thing is, even thinking back when I was looking to get married, a lot of times people don't know how to go about it. You know, they think, okay, well, I want to get married, but what do I do? You know, what are the avenues? How does it work? What are the steps? There's very little help and guidance out there for single Muslims that are trying to go about getting married. There's not much structure, you know.
Especially in the modern day and age, because it's different now than it used to be. It's completely different now with all the technology and just the way that the world is right now. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So step number one, we have a list, 1 through 10. Step number one, know what you are looking for.
So the one thing I'd say about know what you're looking for, you know, I'd say start off with that. You know, if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, think about what it is that you're looking for. Figure out, before you start your search, before you begin, try to identify what it is that you're looking for. Try to identify, and more specifically, a lot of times you ask a brother or a sister, well, you want to get married, what are you looking, what type of person you're looking for? They'd say something like, well, I'm looking for a practicing brother or a practicing sister. What does that look like to you? What does that mean to you? Practicing might mean very different things to different people. A person might, you know, by practicing, might they might think, well, someone who does the basics. To someone else, practicing might mean someone who goes above and beyond, does, you know, practice the obligations, but also does a lot of voluntary deeds. To someone else, practicing might mean just praying Jum'ah once a week. To some, practicing might be, you know, remotely, culturally, you know, practicing and just going for Eid Salah. So what does practicing mean for you exactly? And be clear on what it is that you're looking for. And, you know, when you identify the things that you're looking for, try to also identify their priorities or what are your deal breakers specifically? What are things that you must have that you're not willing to compromise on? And what are things that are preferences that you want in a spouse, but that are things that you are willing to compromise on?
Yeah, and also I guess the one thing I would like to add is just encourage people to also be realistic. I think nowadays, just the way we've been raised with the cartoons and the movies and everything, we sort of have this romanticized, idealistic perspective of what it's like finding a spouse, Prince Charming, and so on and so forth. Like, just have to be realistic. You know, of course, don't sell yourself short, but at the same time, understand that we're all human beings, and some of the expectations we have that have been fed to us through Hollywood and things of that nature, they paint an unrealistic perspective about what finding a spouse is really about. So that is step number one, know what you're looking for. Step number two, know men and women are different.
I mean, you know, subhanAllah, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, you know, and the male is not like the female. You know, I mean, that sums it up really. I mean, men and women are different. There's a lot that could be said on that, you know, on that topic in of itself. And, you know, people go to extremes with it, but it's important to have a proper understanding of, you know, how men think, you know, how they perceive things, how women think, how they perceive things, and so that way you can get on the same page. If you understand where the other person's coming from, it'll be easier for you to get on the same page with them versus expecting a woman to be like a man so that she can be on the same page with you, or expecting a man to think like a woman so he could be on the same page as you. That would often cause problems when you expect them to think exactly like you and perceive things exactly like you.
Yeah, and subhanAllah, this might seem obvious, but especially nowadays, probably more so than ever in the history of humanity, there's this idea being pushed that men and women, they're exactly the same. You know, gender roles is just a social construct and all these sorts of things, which is very dangerous and it's very untrue. If you treat a woman as a man and you think that she's going to be exactly like you, you're in for a rude awakening, and vice versa. Some people, especially if they are raised Islamically and they're not always interacting with the opposite gender growing up, and they don't have any, you know, siblings and things like that, they might really have no idea what it's like interacting with the opposite gender. So this is actually something very important to keep in mind. And there's a famous book that was written many years ago called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which is a pretty good example of how men and women are different, and how when you go into a relationship, getting married, just a way to sort of conceptualize that. So the author in that book, he sort of talks about how, you know, men being from a different planet, women being from another planet, how they should sort of interact and keep that in mind, how they're different to maintain a good, healthy relationship, you know, because you really need to keep that in mind. You can't just talk to your wife the same way you would talk to your guy friends, and you can't expect your husband to be just like your girlfriends for the women, you know. So this is something that's very important to keep in mind in a healthy relationship. Step number three, start your search early.
So, I mean, the one thing that I've seen a lot of people do, especially if they're pursuing, you know, they're focusing on their career, or they're pursuing, you know, higher education, graduate school, things like that, they tend to focus on that and put off starting the process of looking for a spouse. And, you know, years pass by, and before you know it, 10 years have passed by, they're in their 30s, you know, mid-late 30s, and they're looking back, and, you know, all this time is gone, and now they, you know, they're in that time when they're at a point in their life where they want to settle down and get married and all that, but so much, you know, time has passed without them pursuing it. Now they have to start from scratch, and they're already, you know, much older. So the challenge with that is, number one, when you're older, you're looking for someone your age group, narrows down how many people, you know, are within your pool of potential candidates to consider for marriage. Also, the other thing is, the higher you're, oftentimes, not always, but people typically, when they have higher level of degrees and things like that, they typically look for someone that has the same type of background so that they're more compatible. And so that also narrows down their pool even more. And they're older, and it narrows down their pool more, and they haven't started with their process. That may take a long time. You know, you don't know how long it's going to take you. I mean, you might start looking to get married, and you might find a potential spouse within a year, or it may take you 5 years or 10 years to find someone suitable for marriage. So since you don't know how long that's going to take, start early. And that way, when you find the right person, then you can get married.
Yeah, and this is also a mistake that I think many people are making nowadays based on how modern society is set up in the West, where you're encouraged to think that men and women are exactly the same. You're encouraged to put off getting married And this has infiltrated a lot of the Muslim communities where they don't want to get married until they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars and they have a PhD and this and a perfect job. So people are finding themselves, they're delaying and delaying, and then they're finding themselves regretting not getting married early. So try to learn from their mistakes. And, you know, just because you get married early, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to deter you from pursuing education. You know, you just have to work things out and make dua and do what makes the most sense. So that's just something to keep in mind.
And you know what? Part of the search process is let other people around you know that you're searching. A lot of times people assume that others know. Well, of course, you know, they know I'm looking. No, don't assume that. A lot of times, unless you clearly state that, people around you, other people you know, your contacts, your family, friends, people in the community, let them know that you are looking to get married and share with them. You don't have to share details, but share with them just a general idea of who you're looking for. So again, you don't want to get random referrals through that search process where, you know, people who aren't even anywhere remotely close to what you're looking for, people refer them to you and they say, oh, look, there's someone that, you know, that is looking to get married too. And they just kind of match you that way. So let people know. That way, if they know of someone, they'll think of you and they'll let you know.
Yeah, one last thing before moving on. It might not be the most politically correct thing to say, but women especially, they should keep this in mind because we've seen in the modern society, since feminism has really had a stronghold on many people's perceptions on life and the path that they've chosen, many women are finding themselves older. They went down this path of thinking, you know, wanting to be independent and not get married and pursue their education, and they're finding themselves now older and unhappy by going this path, by not getting married and starting a family. And this is something that many women are learning the hard way. So, for the women who may have already been in this situation, you know, it is what it is. Qadr Allah, it's over with. You know, you can still, inshallah, pursue finding a husband and, you know, moving forward. But it's also important for people to learn from those who preceded them so that they don't make the same mistakes.
And you know what? As much as people push that narrative, the reality of it is, I mean, most proposals come from the guy's side. You know, I mean, you don't see women as much taking that step and identifying, well, this is a person I'm interested in marrying and reaching out. You know, I mean, it does happen, but not that much. And so, people need to be proactive. Both men and women need to be proactive in letting people around them know that they are looking to get married. Don't just sit back and wait and expect someone to knock on your door or people to know that you're looking and don't make those assumptions.
All right, so that brings us to step number 4. Don't treat marriage like dating. So especially, I think, for converts, some of us who embraced Islam later in life, you know, I've seen brothers who come from that background of dating and having so many relationships that once they embrace Islam, unfortunately, they bring that baggage along with them and they sort of treat marriage like dating. And some brothers, unfortunately, they get married over and over again. And many of the sisters, they get abused in this sort of a situation, you know, based on the brothers having this natural desire that they want to fulfill. But, you know, once they fulfill that desire, they leave many of our sisters divorced, sometimes with children, and then they're not around, or they, you know, they have multiple wives and they can't really take care of them, so on and so forth. So this is an issue that I think brothers especially need to keep in mind, that, you know, when you are marrying a sister, if you do divorce her and you leave her with a child, it can have a much more devastating effect on her and the rest of her life than yours. And I think that's something that people need to understand and take seriously, that when they are getting married, you need to have it set in your mind that you're going to stick it out, you know, that this isn't just going to be a fling as if you're dating. Like, you should really try to stick with this sister for the rest of your life through thick and thin. Make sure you take care of her and the children, and don't treat, you know, Islamic marriage like dating, even though Allah made it very easy for us to get married and to get divorced if need be. But this is just something that I particularly wanted to mention because I've seen it play out, unfortunately, time and time again.
And you know what? You know, I've seen a lot of situations as well where people, you know, in general, you know, from the Muslim community who are, you know, single Muslims are trying to get married, and they Like you said, they treat it as if it's, you know, dating. I guess they take so long trying to figure out talking to the person, getting to know them, spending time with them, that they spend, you know, not just, you know, months, even years upon years upon years, you know, trying to get to know someone so that they can figure out if they're suitable for marriage. And I'm thinking, I mean, if you haven't figured that out by that time, I mean, that's your clue right there. You know, I mean, it shouldn't take that long for people to figure things out. You know, it's you want to look at, don't dwell too much on the minor things, trying to figure out every little detail. You really want to make sure that the major things are aligned. You know, you're on the same page with regards to the main things. And then from there, you know, you if you're serious about it and the other person is serious about it, then actually get married. You don't want to stretch it out too much because, you know, I've seen it so many times as well. People get emotionally attached, but they're never married, and then it doesn't work out. They never do get married, but then they're attached to that person. Or they end up falling into haram because they've known that person for so long, they've talked to them so much. You know, I mean, it's not, it's just not a healthy approach to it.
Yeah, so there's both extremes. There's just us get married, it doesn't even matter if it doesn't work out, we can just get divorced. And then there's the other extreme of like just getting to know each other for years.
Let's take forever to...
Yeah. So moving on to step number 5, don't try to force things.
You know, I mean, subhanAllah, things should come naturally. You know, I mean, if you're getting to know someone for the purpose of marriage and, you know, they're the right one for you, they would typically fall into place, things would fall into place, things would flow smoothly. You know, it should come about naturally. Don't try to force things. If you're trying to force something, you know, then that's your clue to walk away because you guys might not be compatible. You know, I mean, we're not talking about minor differences or disagreements, but if you see yourself having to compromise on major things, or if you see that you have to get the other person to compromise on major things too much, then that might be a sign of incompatibility.
Yeah, and don't assume that you can change the other person. This is something that happens time and time again, is somebody will think, okay, yeah, maybe I don't like this about them or whatever, but they think that they'll be able to get married and then change them, and then they end up getting divorced because they were never able to change them. And then their spouse is like, well, I told you I wasn't going to change. I told you I was this way. And I've seen that play out, you know, unfortunately, in some of my friends' marriages, you know, where they got divorced because their spouse thought that they would be able to change them and they couldn't. So, yeah, that's right. You don't want to force things. Step number 6, marry for the deen.
Yeah, you know, subhanAllah, I mean, Akhi Sajid, this, despite it being mentioned so much, and as a reminder, it's the Prophet ﷺ's advice for us to you know, marry for someone for their deen, or choose someone based on their deen. But subhanAllah, I mean, we see it over and over again where people don't really prioritize the deen when they're getting married. And the challenge is, of course, other things are important. You want to make sure that there's compatibility in terms of personality, outlook on life, you know, things like that. There's mutual attraction, you know, and again, that's something in the eye of the beholder. I mean, you know, who's beautiful to who and who's attracted to who. That's something that's relative, and that's, you know, that's very subjective. So, you know, but as long as you're attracted to the person, that's what matters. That was what really matters. That's what matters most. But the thing is, the deen should be the foundation of that, of you choosing a spouse should be based on the deen. When people don't, many times later on, they'll regret that. They'll come back later on in life and they would regret that decision because of all the issues that it causes for them. When you're choosing someone who doesn't have, you know, good deen, at least the basics, we're not talking about, you know, no one is perfect. We're not talking about, you know, having unrealistic expectations about people's deen, but having the basics, doing the basics at least, and doing them well and properly, having the right understanding of the deen, this is crucial and critical, because if the person doesn't, it's going to cause so many issues between you and them in the future. And same thing with you. If you don't have that foundation of the deen, it's going to cause so many issues between you and your spouse later on. This is what's going to bring you together. And if that's not there, then that's going to cause so many problems later on in life. People a lot of times don't think, is this person going to be, you know, they just think about the person in the short term. They don't think long term. How is this person going to be as a father to my children or as a mother to my children? How's this person going to treat my parents? How is this person going to, treat me? How's this person going to treat their own family, my family? You know, I mean, how's this person going to, fulfill their obligations? How are they going to...
I mean, there are so many issues that come up during marriage that you would never have foreseen.
Yes.
You could have never even imagined it. So when you marry somebody for a shallow reason, such as just their appearance or this or that, then, you're sort of left with nothing to refer to. But when you marry for the deen, that's the strongest foundation. Anything that comes up, you can always refer it back to the deen. And when you both marry each other for the deen, then you both have that mutual agreement that that's where you're going to return your affairs to. And of course, who better to return your affairs than Allah and His Messenger?
Alhamdulillah.
That takes us to step number 7. Understand that following Islamic gender rules will preserve your marriage. So this is something that, coming from a non-Muslim background, I can really appreciate, because in Islam, because, we might be seen as strange or different just because we're not like, the secular society and the values that they're pushing, you still find that if you look at the issues that they have by not following Islam, you get to appreciate Islam's rules, So for example, gender relations. When I first became Muslim, I was like, SubhanAllah, I can't have like these friendships with all these girls and this and that. I have to just, I have to get married if I want to have that relationship, and then otherwise hang out with brothers or so on and so forth. But, SubhanAllah, it really helps save you from so many problems by living that lifestyle, because that relationship that you have with your spouse, it is unique between the two of you. And when you look at people who don't follow the Islamic guidelines, you can see how people, subhanAllah, they'll cheat with their neighbor, they'll cheat with someone's best friend. And it reminds me, when I was in college, I had this classmate, and we had like group projects and so on and so forth, but it was this girl who was my classmate. And her boyfriend didn't go to the same school. And he would constantly, all the time, be calling her. He'd be so paranoid because to him, his girlfriend was like the most beautiful, wonderful woman in the world. And number one, he can't fathom that anyone else would be able to interact with her without also thinking the same thing, which is a valid assumption to have. But also he was so afraid that someone would take her from him. So he would like show up, not even being a student at the school, he would show up to our class projects and he'd always be hitting her phone up, and she'd be like, he's always, what I'm saying? But it's like, when you have Islam, it can really give you that contentment. You know that your wife, first of all, she's not dressing inappropriately when she's out, inshallah, she's dressing modestly, she's not interacting with people inappropriately. So it just really safeguards you. And that's something that's very important to appreciate about Islam. And it's something that's very important for couples to implement, because it's going to safeguard your relationship.
SubhanAllah, it's so beautiful, the guidance that Allah has sent us to live our lives according to that guidance. And, it makes our life much better, much easier. I mean, it's very simple. There's nothing more we can say about it. I mean, SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this guidance. We live according to it. We're going to be better off. It's going to be good for us.
Exactly.
You see the beauty of that. SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah. That brings us to step number 8. Explore other avenues.
Yeah, one of the frustrations that a lot of people have when they're trying to get married, that I went through as well, is the lack of avenues, the lack of, how do you go about it? Where do you look? How do you start, searching for someone? How do you find out about people, And what I would recommend for people is to explore other avenues. A lot of times people are just looking in their, own community. Sometimes this might be a small community, or the people that they know that they see every day in the masjid or, around them. So it's limited exposure. So I would really recommend that people explore other avenues, explore other cities, look at different matrimonial services that are being offered by some organizations, by different masajid, network with others, whenever you attend events, go out, meet other people, and you know, ask them. If they know someone, I mean, you never know. Maybe you might meet someone who's, you know, brother or sister is looking to get married, or whose brother and sister knows a friend who's looking to get married. I mean, subhanAllah, you wouldn't really know sometimes how these things connect, but network with people. You know, let your family and friends know that you're looking, talk to them, you know, explore online, you know. And word of caution about a lot of these avenues, you know, especially online, is that, you know, it's not always optimal. So it comes with its own issues, but it also has potential. If, you know, not all websites are the same. Not online, all online websites, you know, are the same. Some are really good, some are really bad, you know. So find the good ones and utilize them. You might, again, you don't know which one of these avenues is going to work out for you, but if you pursue multiple ones, then one of them might work out to help you find the right spouse. But if you don't, if you just pursue one and it doesn't work, by the time a few years pass and you figure out, well, that didn't work, now you have to start from scratch with a different avenue. So utilize multiple avenues and explore other options.
And the reality is, life has changed so much in the past couple of decades that we find ourselves in a situation where so many Muslims want to get married. It's like everyone wants to get married, so why is it so difficult for them to find each other, you know? So definitely explore other options. I mean, sometimes we just haven't really, I guess, figured that out yet, how to adapt with the way things were decades ago. And you see this a lot with people whose families came from another country to this country, and then how their children, you know, they're like, oh, my mom, my dad, they want me to marry my cousin back in another country, you know, and they're just sort of on different pages, where it's like there are a lot of different avenues to go. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. You know, keep pursuing it in a halal way. Make sure you have ikhlas, of course, and that you don't get caught up in doing things incorrectly when it comes to the deen. But there, like I said, there are so many different brothers and sisters who all want to get married. It's just a matter of sort of pursuing that and finding each other. And inshallah, if you try, things will work out.
You know, and I feel like a lot of people don't pursue some of these avenues. You know, or they're pursuing them the wrong way. You know, like you said, some people might sign up all online. They sign up for every single online website and app, and you know, and they, it becomes frustrating because it doesn't work because you're not pursuing it the right way. Of course, you know, as you said, it has to be within accordance to the teachings of our deen. Don't just, you know, pursue anything for the sake of being able to find a spouse, because that's not going to help you find a good spouse. You know, but don't sit and wait. Be proactive about it. Don't sit and wait for, you know, a lot of times people just sit passively and they just get these biodatas about these other potential people that they get sent through, you know, their moms, uncles, cousins, you know, I don't know who, that, and you don't know anything about that person. All you get is a piece of paper, and that doesn't tell you much about them. You know, and you know, it doesn't help you get closer to that goal. You know, it doesn't advance that process.
This is a principle I've seen across the board. It's like when you make dua and you actually take the steps towards getting whatever it is that you want, inshallah, Allah will facilitate things for you. Whether it's getting married, whether it's seeking knowledge. A lot of people, they message me about seeking knowledge, and you can see the ones who really take it seriously and they take the steps towards actually doing it versus those who don't. And it's like night and day. And the same goes with marriage. Those who really pursue it and end up, inshallah, finding a spouse versus those who just sit back and don't, you know. So that's something to think about.
It's not something that's going to happen through wishful thinking. You know, you have to take proactive steps towards it.
Yeah. So that brings us to step number 9, work on improving yourself.
And you know, when I thought about that one, a lot of times people mention it first, you know. Oh, you know, you talk to them about marriage, they say, oh, before I even start, I want to work on myself, I want to improve myself before I find someone else. I think, and this is not step number 9, it's later on in the process, because of course you have to start working on improving yourself. It's a constant and continuous gradual journey, you know, since the day you're born until the day you die.
That's the thing, it never ends.
It never ends. But the thing is, don't wait on starting your search process until after you've improved yourself to where you want to be, because that's never going to happen. So you're not going to get there. This is supposed to be a continuous thing. You're always going to want to be, or you should always want to become better than you what you currently are. If you don't, then that's a trap of shaitan that you fall into, thinking, well, I'm good enough now. You know, now I'm ready to search.
Right.
So even through the search process, continue working on yourself during that same time. And that way you're always improving yourself, and you can, you know, inshallah, find someone who is compatible as well, who's doing the same thing on their end.
Yeah, and this is something that shouldn't be underestimated either, because some people, they feel like, no, it's the other people that need to improve. But just through my personal experiences in life, you know, and I'm sure you've noticed the same thing, if you act a certain way, if you say a certain thing, I mean, it can have a huge effect on your spouse. You know, if you, and that's about improving yourself. So if I improve myself in a way where I'm going to act better, I'm going to act like a better Muslim, I'm going to be more gentle or more wise and say the right thing, then you don't have to sit there and expect the other person to improve themselves and them to change. You can actually, through your own act of improving yourself, it will actually improve your spouse as well and sort of work through a lot of the difficult situations you might find yourself in. So this is something to always understand. You're always going to be improving yourself, and you can always improve yourself. And even if someone else might have shortcomings, even through you doing the right thing or acting better, you can even improve them and help them. So that leads us to step number 10, make dua.
You know, I think that's something that people need to continuously remind themselves of, is that it's all in the hands of Allah, you know, yes. And including the steps that you take. You know, sometimes people say, do your part, then make dua. No, I mean, even your part is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's under His control. So even if the things that you have to take, you know, you have to rely on Allah to be able to accomplish these things, because if Allah doesn't make it easy, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do them. So you put your trust in Allah, you know, the whole time, including to do the things that are your part, you know, including the things that are under your control that you can actually pursue. And so, you know, making dua, asking Allah to make it easy for you, to guide, I mean, this is really, you know, the most important aspect of dua. I mean, even when you're making the decision to pray making the decision to marry someone, praying istikhara, you know, you decided that you're going to marry this person, before you go through with it, praying istikhara, making that dua, you know, it's a very beautiful dua. You know, look it up, make sure you utilize that tool that Allah has given us, you know, praying istikhara, because it makes your life so much easier. It relieves the burden and the pressure off of your shoulders, that you're not the one having to make the right decision. You know, you're making the decision, but you're asking Allah that if this is what's best for you, to make it easy, make it happen. This is what's best for your dunya and akhirah, to make it easy, make it happen, put barakah in it for you, make you satisfied with it. And this is not what's best for you, to take you away from it, take it away from you. You know, and decree for you the good wherever it may be, and make you satisfied with that. So that way, no matter what happens, things work out, you try to pursue it, things work out, you get married, alhamdulillah, you're satisfied, you're content, your heart is at ease, your mind is at peace, that this is what's best for you for the dunya and akhirah. And if it doesn't work out, you're not sitting there regretting, oh, why didn't it work out, and you know, just, you know, sulking over it, but rather you as a believer, you're glad that, okay, you asked Allah to grant you whatever is best for your dunya and akhirah. It didn't work out, it means that wasn't the best person for me to marry, and you continue your search.
Yeah, and this is something to keep in mind in general, because Allah tells us that He created us for no other reason except to worship Him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Dua is the worship. So, you know, making dua, I mean, it is such a fundamental part of why we exist at all, let alone marriage, you know, and trying to find a spouse. And it also goes back to tawheed, that if, you know, you could do everything that you could think to possibly do trying to find a spouse, and unless Allah facilitates that for you, and it is the will of Allah that you find the right person, you're never going to. And the opposite is true. You know, if Allah wants you to find the right spouse, they'll knock on your door, you know, like, subhanAllah. Yeah,
literally.
Yes.
Literally.
I mean, this is part of tawheed. This is part of, you know, the reality of our existence and the truth and Islam. So, jazakAllah khair, Brother Omar. And that does it for this episode. Please let us know what you think in the comments. If there are any other top 10 videos or any sorts of subjects you'd like for us to tackle, let us know. And until next time, jazakAllahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.